pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. We thank you, Father, for each and every person that's here in this room and each and every person that's watching us online. We thank you, Father, first of all, that you have a plan and a purpose for their life. We thank you that they will fulfill that plan and that purpose. We thank you tonight as we go to study your word. We thank you that your word will not return void. But Father God, we thank you that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us and help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. But we thank you that most of all, it will take forth the word that we hear that springs forth life on the inside of us and go out to the highways and the byways and share the love of Jesus Christ with a lost and dying and hurting world. Father, we thank you for revival to this nation. We thank you, Father, for revival to this generation. We thank you, Father, for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And we thank you, we come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own might, not in our own ability, but your strength, your power, your might, and your ability that you be lifted up. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us all utterance. Utterance to speak with all boldness the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. And Father God, we thank you for your anointing of God that's present tonight. That anointing that saturates us, that changes us in the instant. We thank you if anyone is here tonight, either watching us online or here in this room, that is going through a tough time, financially, physically, spiritually, emotionally, whatever it might be. We thank you, Father, for the anointing of God touching their life and ministering to them. And we thank you, Father, for everything you have done and everything you are doing, both here and around the world. And we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise God. God is a good God. And I don't know what I was praying, man. The Lord just touched me. I don't know, you know, why. But, you know, thank God we need more of God right now in this world. I do want to say before I get started, there is another selfie thing around the corner over here. And Denise said it was a more adult one. I don't know if that's a kid one or not. But So I guess, so all the adults go over there and all the kids go over there and get them, no, whatever. But anyway, you know, it's kind of a fun thing, you know, to take a selfie and, you know, and tag Rhema so that everyone knows, you know, where you go to church, what you're doing and things like that. Well, the title of my message tonight is Joy to the World. Now, I know you're probably wondering where I got that. You're probably like, you're trying to rack your brain, said, where in the world would you come up with something like that? Actually, you know, it is interesting sometimes that we sing songs and we do things and we don't even really know what we're singing sometimes. Joy to the World is obviously, we all know, is one of the most popular Christmas, you know, songs, you know, of all times. And just kind of give you some history. It was written when some of you guys were really young. It was written in 1719 by a man named Isaac Watts. And this was interesting to know that Joy to the World was the most popular Christmas hymn in North America in the 20th century. So, you know, maybe the 21st century there'll be a more popular one. But Joy to the World is published more than any other hymn. And so it's a very popular hymn. But, you know, it just seems that this year that a lot of people don't feel as joyful and triumphant as we are in other years, for whatever reason it might be, you know, whether people are having crummy years or whatever. I'm not feeling the joy. I'm not feeling the love. But see, it's not about what's going on in our lives. It's about who's in our life. And the joy to the world, and, well, actually, you know what? Before I even keep talking, because sometimes I'll keep talking, let's go to a verse. Let's go to Luke chapter 2, and most of you might know that that's the Christmas verse, but Luke chapter 2, and let's read there, and then we'll get to what I want to minister on. It says, I'm going to start with verse 8. It says, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Now, let's just like picture this, because sometimes we, you know, we read things we don't picture in our mind. So let's just picture you're out in the middle of a field, and it's you and a bunch of sheep. Kind of like I feel right now, you know, you know, it's just you and a bunch of animals in the middle of nowhere. And all of a sudden, boom, an angel appears in front of you, you know, and, you know, and I know most of you think, man, that would be so cool if an angel appeared in front of you. No, it wouldn't. I mean, it might be cool, but for a minute there, you're going to be afraid. Everybody was. It says the glory of the Lord was shining around them. So evidently, like it was like dark time and the whole place like lit up. And here's an angel saying there, and it says that they were afraid, like you would be. You know, people say, oh. And then the angel of the Lord said to them, do not be afraid. And so if you're ever playing some kind of trivia game, and when an angel appears to anybody in the Bible, the first words out of their mouth is always, do not be afraid. Just want to let you guys know that. So I guess if an angel appears before you, your first emotion is to be afraid. Don't be afraid. So, you know, if you're sleeping tonight and all of a sudden you kind of wake up in the middle of the night and boom, you know, there's a big glorious cloud and there's an angel appearing before you, don't be afraid. It'll be okay. Okay. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Now, have you ever wondered what a good tiding was? Have you ever heard the term glad tidings? You know, a good tiding is good news. I'm bringing you good news, or I'm bringing you a good thing. Or glad tidings is a you know, thing to be glad about. But I'm bringing you good news that of great joy, which will be to all people. So he's saying, you know what? Jesus is going to bring great joy to all people. And that's what we celebrate our Christmas season, because Christmas is not about Santa Claus. It's not about candy canes. It's not about Frosty the Snowman. It's not about Christmas lights. It's about Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. And you know, it goes on to say, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. I mean, think about that. You know, if you're just an average shepherd standing out in the field in the middle of the, and all of a sudden, poof, you see one angel and the glory of the Lord, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, you have a, you know, a heavenly host of angels. I mean, that would be pretty wild. Now, you realize also, if you tell anybody the story, they're going to not believe you. You know, they're going to like, that's fake news. There's no way that happened. All right. But, you know, the interesting part about it is what the angels were praising God, and they were saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. You know, I think it's interesting. The Bible says joy to the world because Jesus brings joy to the world. All right? And us being followers of Christ, us, you know, you might realize that if we're a born-again Christian, the greater one lives on the inside of us. And it's our responsibility to bring joy to the world, not our responsibility to have joy because of the world. And I think that's the thing, is a lot of people are not so joyful right now because maybe they haven't had a joyful year. Now, I personally have had the best year ever. And I'm actually looking forward to 2021 because I'm so excited about how much better it's going to get in 2021. Now, I'm having a great year. I know some of you guys might not have good years or whatever, but that's your fault, not mine, okay? I gave you the key to have the same year that I had at the end of 2019, all right? I'm going to preach again, I think the 27th, I'm up, and I'm going to give you the key to have a good year next year. Whether you follow it or not, that's up to you, okay? So, you know, I'm excited. I don't care what's going to happen with our political system, with our economic system, with anybody else in the White House, the outhouse, the blue house, the red house, you know, the green house, you know, or whatever's happening with Humpty Dumpty. I mean, you know, whether he falls off the wall or stays on the wall or, you know, or you have green eggs and ham, it doesn't really matter. The thing is, I can be joyful and triumphant because Jesus came. And I can be excited because Jesus is still here. The Bible clearly says he's not going to leave me nor forsake me, no matter what kind of turmoil might be going around about me. In fact, I got plenty of scripture for turmoil. I got the 23rd Psalm. About to walk into the valley of the shadow of death, and I will fear no evil. Why? Because I have joy on the inside. See, we have to understand our joy comes from the inside, not from the outside. People are looking for some kind of joy from the outside, and they're missing the joy on the inside. And if your name happens to be Joy, that's even more joyful. So if it's not, too bad. Maybe I should have named it for your middle name, you know. Couple things that I would like to talk about joy, and I got some facts from a place called unlockingthebible.org. I'm sure most of you go there quite a bit. That's a joke. I mean, I've never heard of unlockingthebible.org until right now. But, you know, I'm the Googleologist that finds many things, many places. And there's a place called unlockingthebible.org, and they talk about joy here. They say joy is a term. Now, I didn't actually physically, you know, find these stats. So if they're wrong, you can blame Mr. unlockingthebible.org for that. All right. It says joy is a term that appears approximately 165 times in the King James Version translation. Interesting enough, it appears 182 times in the New American Standard Version and 218 times in the NIV, according to unlockingthebible.org. So this is also interesting. In the English Standard Version of the Bible, the words joy, rejoice, or joyful appear a total of 430 times in the Bible. So your Bible has a lot to tell you about joy. So I'm assuming that this Bible wants us to be joyful. Now here's something else that's because, you know, Jesus is the author of joy. In fact, going back to Nehemiah, it says the joy of the Lord is our strength. You know, so, but this is pretty wild. And this is something I did not know until I read this from unlockingthebible.org. It says compared with the word happy or happiness, and this is going back to the English Standard Version where joy, rejoice, or joyful appear 430 times. And it says, compared with the word with happy or happiness, which appears only 10 times in the Word of God. Happy or happiness. You know, some people are looking for happiness and they're missing their joy. They're looking for happiness and they're missing joy because they're trying to be happy. And, you know, they mix the two up together. Because happiness and joy are different. Happiness is usually measured by our circumstances, whereas joy is measured about what we have been given as Christians. See, happiness is dependent. I mean, there are some days you're going to be happy, some days you're not going to be happy. But you can be joyful every day of your life because joy dwells on the inside of you. It's up to you to bring joy to the world. Not up to the world to bring joy to you. And see, that's where we're missing out. We want, you know, when we have this festive holiday season, some people think, well, you know what? If I have the right music on, you know, the festive holiday music on, I have the right Christmas tree decorations and Christmas presents and hot chocolate and the right stockings and the right pajamas, and, you know, I'm going to festively be happy and joyful. Well, you know, you can be happy and still not be joyful. Do you realize there's non-Christians that get happy? But they don't know the meaning of true joy. Because only true joy comes from above. So, you know, Jesus brings the joy. And if you're full of Jesus, you're full of the joy. So be full of it. Actually, that comes to some of our next scriptures. It talks about being full of it. You know, what do you want being full? I'm going to be full of Jesus. I'm also going to be full of joy. You know, because why not? And I know a lot of people, you know, they're trying and say, well, Craig, I'm just trying to be joyful. I'm trying to be happy. First of all, trying's lying. I want to let you know that. I learned that one day whenever I told the guy that, you know, he was asking me if I would want to do something. I said, well, you know, I'll try to be there. He looked at me and says, Craig, trying's lying. You're either going to do it or you're not going to do it. So just tell me the truth. If you're not going to do it, if you're not going to do it, fine, just tell me. I can handle that. Okay, well, you know, I probably won't be there. Anyway, John chapter 15, verses 10, 11, and 12. It says this. This is Jesus talking, the original father of joy. It says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. He goes on the next verse to say, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So I see a correlation here between love and joy. When we're full of the love of Jesus, or the love of the Father, then we're also full of joy. So maybe you need to feel the love from the Lord. And that's the thing about it is, you know, if you need to feel that, that's what Christmas is all about. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And that's enough to make you joyful because you're going to live life for an eternity as long as you accept him as your Lord and Savior. That's better than any Christmas present that you'll ever get. Or all of them stacked up, you know, for the rest of your life. I mean, you know, here's the thing is sometimes we get so happy and excited about a Christmas. That's happiness. That's not joy. And we get confused. And sometimes we're like, well, how can I be joyful? Well, how can you not be joyful? How can you not be joyful? I mean, it's just that simple because right here it says, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you. Maybe you're not joyful because you're not remaining in the joy of the Lord because you're not seeing the love. You know, maybe you're singing the song, where is the love? Well, the love comes from above. God loves you. He gave us Jesus and Jesus gave us so many things. You know, we have so much because of Jesus. And he says, it might remain in you that your joy may be full. And, you know, I want to be full of it. I want to be full of joy. And if I'm full of joy, I can bring my joy to the world, not just at Christmas season. I think that's another thing. You realize some people are only joyful at Christmas? Why? We should be joyful all the time. We should be happy all the time. Well, yeah, but this is going on, that's going on. But Christmas time special, you know, we can all be happy. Yeah, see, happiness and joy are two different things. It's not about being happy, it's about being full of joy. I have the joy that nobody can take from me. And that's my next scripture. I'm going to find it here. Let's see where I want to start. Oh, I just closed my... John 16:22, we'll start there. It says this, therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, he's talking to his disciples, and your heart will rejoice. Now, rejoicing is having joy again. That's rejoy. You know, but you realize you can't rejoice unless you've had joy the first time. Some people are trying to rejoice when they never had joy. But when you're full of joy, you can keep rejoying all the time. All right, and it says, your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. You realize nobody can take your joy from you. But there is one person who can take your joy from you, and that's you. You are the only person that can take your joy away from you. And you take your joy away from you whenever you lose the mindset of who you are in Christ Jesus. When you lose that mindset, you begin sometimes to not have joy because you don't realize who you are in Christ. You don't realize what you have through Christ. And that's when you have to renew your mind and your mindset. When you renew your mind, you'll once again see that you are full of joy. Because Jesus doesn't do anything halfway. I mean, if the Spirit of living God dwells on the inside of you, I should have bundles of living joy on the inside of me because my Jesus is bundles of living joy. I mean, that's what the whole song was about, joy to the world. That's all about Jesus. All about him. And it says that he's to bring joy to everybody all the time. And that's why I try to be joyful most of the time. Now, I'm not 100% on that, okay? Sometimes, sometimes, I'll put it this way. Sometimes I'm not happy and then I lose my joy because I'm not happy. And I have to realize that, once again, joy comes from the inside of me. Not from anywhere on the outside. Because if you're looking for joy on the outside, you're not going to find the joy on the inside. And that's what happens. Every Christmas season, people are walking around trying to find the joy. Well, maybe if I walk around the mall long enough, I'll get some joy. Maybe if I do this, I'll get some joy. I will tell you one thing. If you watch the news, you won't get any joy. So just turn it off. It's not going to make you joyful and triumphant. Actually, by reading here, it looks like if you really want joy, you should read the Word of God. Because it's full of joy. According to what I read. Anyway, verse 23 says, "And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked me nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." If you ask, so maybe, you know what? Maybe you don't even have joy, and that's what you need to ask for. Some people are always asking for stuff. But, just not just stuff you need. Sometimes we just need a little bit of joy. And nobody can make you joyful. Only you can do that. And the way you make yourself joyful is you change your mindset. Now, of course, we all know the scripture, James 1:2. James 1:2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." And I remember my grandfather speaking of this a lot. Maybe he fell into various trials, I don't know. But he always would say, see, it's not going to be joyful, but you count it as joyful because the joy giver is with you at all times, even in the middle of the trials. And actually, I preached about this not too long ago. You realize, I like to use examples, Old Testament examples. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? When they were in the middle of the fiery furnace, they were not there alone. There was actually the fourth man was with them. And not only that, you could actually see him with them. Now, here's the thing. Sometimes we can't see Jesus, so sometimes we lose our joy because we forget that he's with us. That's when we have to know what God's word says. And God's word says he will never leave you nor forsake you. So whenever you're in the middle of your trial, and your trial is probably not as bad as a fiery furnace. And so when you think the things you have, all right, it's not really fun to have to owe $500 and not to have $500 and pay $500. All right, but that's not compared anywhere in comparison to walking into a 7 times hotter fiery furnace that's definitely going to kill you, except for them. So you understand, when they should have died, they didn't, because the one who has great joy was with them. So instead of getting sad about it, they walked out of the fire. So when you're in a great trial, count it all joy. Just look at who's with you. Look at what you have. Look at how awesome it is. Now, the New Living Translation says it this way. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." Now, if I read the scripture, you know, obviously, I'm speaking this message in 2020. I want to say that because if they air this some other time, it won't be 2020, so they'll have to edit that. But anyway, by preaching this message in 2020, and it says, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider an opportunity for great joy. So 2020 is a year of great joy and should be a year of great joy. It should be the greatest Christmas ever. Because we've had troubles of every kind. So I don't know why everybody's not really having a lot of joy this Christmas. Well, I know why, because they're not a doer of the Word of God. That's what I talk about. Every time I pray before I speak, I always pray where we're going to be a doer of God's Word, not just a hearer only. And the problem is we're not being a doer. Because the doer says, you know what? When things have been miserable, consider it an opportunity to have great joy. You know, because no matter what's gone on, you can say, yeah, but I have the biggest but. Not here. The biggest but is all of this stuff is going bad, but Jesus. Jesus is the biggest but right here. But Jesus is going to get me through every situation. So whenever trials and tribulations and all these things come, put out your butt. And then throw in Jesus. You'll never hear another preacher say that. But anyway, I know someone's going to go home. What did you learn tonight at church? To put out my butt and throw in Jesus. What does that mean? Just listen for yourself. Now, that's not in my notes, folks. I mean, you know, I pulled that out. I'm not sure if I pulled that out from up there, in here, over there, or wherever. But, you know, a lot of times we're always making excuses on everything. So why don't you make an excuse to have joy? Yeah, everything's going miserable, but Jesus still gives me great joy. But I can be excited. Now, the thing is, it says you have an opportunity. So you have an opportunity to have joy or not to have joy. That is the question. To have joy, not to have joy. It's up to you whether you're going to have joy or not, because Jesus provides the joy. He's there on the inside. He's the one who came the original Christmas day to bring good tidings of great joy to you. And he wants you to be full of that joy, because we read about that. And if you're not full of that joy, and you're not having joy, and you've had plenty of opportunities this year, then that's your problem, not mine. Because you should be full of joy. Because you had an opportunity to have great joy this year, but you've also had an opportunity not to have great joy, and you've made that choice, not me. So if you made the wrong choice, then make the right choice, which is not AT&T. I know that was one of their slogans at one time, but the right choice is to choose Jesus. All right, because he has better cell phone reception than AT&T. You know, sometimes AT&T doesn't work right. But you realize that every time you call out upon the name of the Lord, he hears you, he answers you, and he's always there. And he does care. All right, we got to hurry. All right, Philippians 4:4, NLT. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. It says always be full of joy. That means all the time. That means if you're not full of joy, you're not being biblical. And I know that is funny, but it's sad. If I'm not full of joy, according to God's word, I'm not being a real doer of God's word, because the Bible says to always be full of joy in the Lord, and I say it again. So he just didn't, you know, this is Paul speaking. He didn't say it once, he said it twice. And the second time he was talking about rejoicing. So, you know, not only do you have joy one time, you keep having joy and keep having joy. Because, you know, it seems when people come to Christ and they give their life to Christ and they have a monumental moment, that joy comes in, and then after they be, you know, they're an older Christian. You know, I don't mean older chronologically, I mean older because, you know, they've been a Christian for so many years. They're not having that same amount of joy they had whenever they came down and accepted him for the first time. Because they're not continuing to rejoice. They're not continuing to be full of joy. They're not continuing to take opportunities to be full of joy. Because they're waiting for someone to sing joy to the world when the joy is already on the inside of them. Because you understand, joy to the world has already happened. Jesus has already come. You know, that's how, let earth receive their king. We've already got that. Joy to the world should be past tense. Now the joy is mine. This joy I have, the world can't take it away from me. It's my joy, not yours. Well, it's your joy too. We can share it, I guess. All right, 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. It says, always be joyful. Once again, be a doer of God's word, you got to always be joyful. Then it says to never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. We should always be joyful all the time, during every circumstances, whether it's the good times or the bad times or the funny times or the whatever times or the New York Times. We can be joyful and happy all the time because we have Jesus. Now I want to get to the end of the song. I got 6 minutes. Anybody ever sung Joy to the World before? Anybody ever sung the song? Three of you? Good. Happy. Now, you know, the last part of the song, we sing about the wonders of his love. The wonders of his love. You ever wondered what you're singing about? See, the reason we can have joy is because we feel that love. We feel the wonders of his love that's encompassing around about us. And I'm going to read a couple of verses about his wonders. And if I go past seven, don't shoot me. Past eight, excuse me. Don't shoot me. I will only go like maybe 5 minutes past because I can do this in 10 minutes. All right, maybe five. If you pray, maybe. All right, Psalm 17:7-9, New Living Translation says this. This is the psalmist saying, it's not palmist, folks, it's psalmist. I want to make sure some of you that, make sure you know what the Bible says. All right. It says, show me your unfailing love in wonderful ways. By your mighty power, you rescue those who seek refuge from their enemies. Guard me as you would guard your own eyes. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. Protect me from wicked people who attack me, from murderous enemies who surround me. You know what? The unfailing love loves us even when everything else around about us is falling apart. And I'm here to tell you, in the last days, you're going to see that unfailing love and how God loves you and protects you and takes care of you in spite of what's going on around about you. Because it's not what's going on around about you. You can still have the joy on the inside and you can still experience the wonders of his love. Last verse, Romans 8:38-39. See, I'm actually might even finish on time here. It says, and I am convinced, this is the writer of Romans, probably Paul, but we don't know for sure. So I was going to say Paul, but I don't want some theologians to tell me I'm wrong. So, okay. If you want to know who wrote Romans, when we get to heaven, you can ask Jesus. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's the wonders of his love. He loves us no matter what we ever do, no matter what the devil tries to do, no matter what's happening in heaven and hell or all over, we can still be saturated in the wonders of his love. And many people, we sing about the wonders of his love, but we don't know what that means. I mean, that means that God loves us so much that he sent his only begotten son on Christmas Day to die for us so we can have eternal life, so that we can have his name and we can use his name and we can have life and have it more abundantly on this earth right now, and we can have joy in the middle of the storm. We can have joy in the middle of everything going on. We can have joy. We can show the real joy to the world, because this world needs joy right now. This world is hurting. This world is broken. This world is decrepit. Everything known to man is going on, you know, right now, and who knows what the future holds, but we know who holds the future, and we know that we can have joy on the inside, because we can have the mindset of somebody that understands who we are in Christ Jesus. And we can let the wonders of his love show forth to us, and we can show forth the wonders of his love to a lost and dying and hurting generation that's looking for somebody that knows something that can help them get through tomorrow, because there are people out there that are hurting right now, people out there that are out of work, people out there right now that don't know, you know, where the next paycheck coming, that don't know if their business is going to make it. They don't know, you know, and, you know, we are fortunate here in Oklahoma to have it a little better than some other places. But when you talk to people from all over, I mean, there's businesses that have been going for generation after generation that have shut down today. You know, and they don't want to sing about a Merry Christmas because they're not feeling too merry. But you know what? I don't care what's going on. We can still show the joy of the Lord to this world and let heaven and nature sing. You know, we should feel the love this Christmas. And the way to feel the love is to show the love, the wonders of his love. And a lot of times we sing these songs, we don't even know what they really mean. But God so loved the world, he gave us Jesus. And nothing can keep us away from his love. You're going to make it. I'm going to make it. We're going to get through it. And we need to show more joy to the world. Amen. 8 o'clock. Good job, Craig. Amen. Hopefully you guys are doing great. But before we go, let's sing Joy to the World, guys. Get here, let's sing Joy to the World. They don't know I was going to sing there. But I figured that would be the best song to sing based on this message. And, you know, and I want you to feel the love. When you're singing Wonders of Love, I want you to feel that love. Let's all stand up. Go ahead.
Joy to the world, the Lord